Good to be assembled in the house of the Lord, and it's been that way for quite a number of years. Most of you probably know that when I was going to church with Dad, and there was no question, do you want to, just come on, get ready, let's go. I made a vow that I would never, when I was in charge of my life in an old Baptist church house as long as I lived. I was standing in the pulpit shortly after that, well not a number of years, but shortly after going to church, and I started to tell that tale the same way I told it to you. I couldn't. I wound up saying, that's the true statement. Because I'm not in control. But at any rate, it's good to be here, and those little nuggets I say about myself is not for me, it's to show you the power of God. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 starts out with a little lad had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and they had 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And Christ blessed it, break it, fed the whole one, and there was, I think, 12 baskets left over. And then in the 35th chapter, or verse of that chapter, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Sometimes we have difficulties understanding things like that because we know that we hunger and that we know that we thirst. But the point is, we do not hunger for salvation. We do not thirst after God. We know who God is, we know who Jesus Christ is, and we're settled with that. And in John 3:16, I guess you all know that one. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Keep that in mind as we turn the page here in a few minutes. But before we turn the page, in verse 29, folk always want to know what they got to do. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. That's it. Believing is all that we're told to do. And he is the bread of life. Now in verse 37, remember John 3:16, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We hear all this talk about, if I believe what you do, what about all the ones that want to come and can't? There are no such people. The ones that God has chosen before the foundation of the world are given the desire. The Spirit goes to them and awakens them and causes them to know that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but nevertheless, God has loved you. He's chosen you. He makes you come out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. What a wondrous thing it was. That happened to me after years and years of going to church with Dad. Hearing wonderful ministry. Now, I got all the doctrine here, but it didn't go there until later. But at any rate, he said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We find that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was in heaven and immortal glory, almost forever, eternity past, left that exalted place to come here to suffer, bleed, and die for you and I. It's just not like somebody here paid a price. He was in heaven, adored of angels. He was in heaven, mind you, and he left that to come down here for folks like you and I. When it's you, I don't have too much trouble with it. But when it's me, I say, why me, God? What did I ever do? And the answer is nothing. We didn't do anything to endure ourselves for God. But we did enough to be in that basket where it said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None good, no, not one. I don't have any patience for those folk that talk about how they did it all. I was down visiting at my dad's house, and I think he was already gone, but my stepmother was there, and she told me the story about a man walking across the yard, I think. He was like 98 years old. Lord, sure has blessed you. He didn't have anything to do with it. Really? But, you know, either it'll stay that way or he'll have a come up sooner or later. But be that as it may. And said, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. I suppose all of you heard about people backsliding. Do you see any backsliding in here? Did it sound like a hint of backsliding? Absolutely not. All that the Father giveth me shall. It's not if they don't backslide, they shall. And it's not like if you're going to die in a car, sidewalk, heart attack, whatever. You don't need nobody to come try to help you out and get you to heaven. It's already predetermined if you're going and if you're not. So, the so-called priest can't do anything for you because the high priest is in heaven. And that's the only one we need to be concerned with is our high priest. He stands between us and God, as it were. He came and paid that price because God sent him to do it. I always wonder. I told a story a time or two, but my neighbor was of a different persuasion. And I'll say that I lived in a very Catholic neighborhood. Him and I were good friends. He would come over and we'd sit on the porch and talk. He said, don't talk to me about religion, and I won't talk to you. He was petrified that if I said something to him to drag him away from what he believed, or vice versa, if he did that to me, I mean, fat chance, but that's what he said. If you're in the middle and you die, you go to hell. That's what he believed. But he thought he was all right. He thought I was all right because when his wife died at the home, he came to get me to pray for her. Now, you know that came out. I went down and prayed, but I did not pray for her. I prayed for those that had lost a loved one because she's fast praying for me. No, and there's no purgatory. That's just a way to get more money out of the folks. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then in verse 41, he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. We remember the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Manna came down. Some say they ate angels' food. But that food, if it was not the day before the Sabbath, any over and above what they needed, spoiled. He said, I am the bread of life. He was slain, beaten, scourged, the spear in his side, but that body didn't deteriorate. That bread of life did not go away, because that bread of life on the third revolving day arose victorious over death and the grave. Show me any other entity, if you can, that lived and died and came back. This is how many you'll find. Absolutely none. They're still there. All of them are still there. Some of them can trace their belief system back to the 1600s. Whoopee. We chase ours back to eternity past. And eternity future, I might say. And we can know for certainty that we're going to see him as he is and be like him and be satisfied in that world that shall never be. Oh, praise his holy name. Verse 44 is the one that I ask you to remember about John 3:16. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father doesn't draw us. The Spirit doesn't come into our bosom. Causes us to go from, I don't need a Savior, to, boy, am I in trouble. I need Jesus. I need the blood of the Lamb of God to intercede for me, because I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm not worthy of the very least of the notice of God, even his people as far as that goes. But that Spirit keep doing its work until you finally acknowledge that Jesus loves you. If it were not for the love of Jesus, that Spirit would not bring you out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of the Son of God. And when that's done, you can say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You can jump for joy. Literally, or sometimes just in your mind. But you can wake up, go outside, and it's all different from what it was before. We look around now, and the world's going the opposite direction of what it was when we first had life. It's going the opposite direction. It's a miserable world we live in. It's corrupt to its very core. Oftentimes I think from the peasants that are working to the kings and queens and presidents and all sitting in office, it's corrupt. But that'll all be straightened out. That'll all be straightened out. You can rest assured that it won't hinder you. It doesn't make any difference what the world does. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. It doesn't matter what they think, because we still rest in Jesus Christ. The finished work, I might add. It's nothing that we've got to do. Just believe, as I read to you earlier. All you got to do is believe. And that's impossible unless the Spirit has come and showed it to you. But once that happens, it's as easy as falling off a log. And I fell off of one day. We used to find a tree that was knocked down and walk up as far as we could. And if possible, bring it down with us at the end of it. I mean, what else you gonna do in the country? You got no toys, you got no money to buy them with, you got nothing to do. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. We're taught of God. My wife, bless her heart, can go back through her teachers in most every year. I don't even know what state I was in some years I went to school. I mean, that's true. Because Mom left Dad when I was sick. I know we went to Bluefield, West Virginia for a while. We went to Baltimore, Maryland for a while. And finally, we were a hindrance to her. She took us back down to Dad, who was living in a flat, you know, single people live. Nowhere for us. Wound up at Mom's mother and father's house. Get beat up by older couples. I'm not complaining, just stating the facts. Everything that happens to us in life makes us what we are today. And all of that makes me appreciate the goodness of God and the love of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Think what a story he could tell. He did. I left heaven. I came. I suffered. I bled. I died. There's a song in that book that says, I forget what it says. All those things that he did, he said, and what have you done for me? Yeah, I gave my life. I suffered great agony. What have you done for me? Said not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verse 47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. This sixth chapter of John is rich. It's rich in doctrine. It's rich in good stuff to make us want to shout, praise the Lord. And he said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Isn't that the truth? Every one of them, except Joshua and Caleb, that left, that were old when they left, they died. If you believe it, they're being led by Moses. They're on the way to the promised land. And they murmur and complain against God. They say their word about their children. What's going to happen to them? They're going to die in the wilderness. Outside of the ones that disobeyed God, none of them died. It was the old folk that died. Except for Joshua and Caleb. I still remember Caleb. He wanted that mountain. He'd been promised that mountain. And what was it, 80, 85? I think he was 85. He wanted the mountain. He said, I'm as strong as I was before. I'm as able to go out and come in as I was before. I was promised that mountain. He got the mountain. He took care of the mountain. He took care of the giant, so-called. He run them all out, destroyed them, and then he gets them out of the way. Now that's the servant of God. He didn't need the mountain. He just wanted to do what God had sent him to do. Joshua led Israel in battle to conquer the countries that they came through. They stood at the water, and when the priest's water feet hit that water, they went apart. Somewhat I used to call a fool, but we'll leave that aside. Some of these people, they don't know what they're doing. They'll say, oh, it was late time. That's a bigger miracle than the one that happened. In low tide, Pharaoh and all his armies and horses was drowned. Really? No. The water come back and drowned it. But that's what it, you know, people, when they don't know the Bible, will talk about the low tide that time of year. The low tide, he wouldn't have to walk up and tell the water to go. But anyway, he says repeatedly in this sixth chapter, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I am that bread. On the other page, he had said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. The old song said, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. I listened to the songs of Zion all the way down this morning. Except for 3 or 4 minutes, I put on new footstand and went back. But the beauty of it is, I heard that one about Beulah Land. Beulah Land. Homesick. The land, a country I've never seen. Oh, but we've heard about it. We've heard about what Beulah Land is. We've heard that the streets are as gold. Some say they are gold. He says they are as pure gold. It doesn't matter to me. We're going to see him as he is, me like him, be satisfied, whether it's gold or titanium or whatever it is. Doesn't make a difference to me. Sand, dirt, I don't care. You see Jesus in all his Shekinah glory. You see him as he is, be like him and be satisfied. Now that's the beauty of it. People say, are we going to get bored? Really? You think he's going to get bored in the presence of God? And his son Jesus Christ and all the saints? I don't think so. Try to figure out all the nuances of it. Apostle Paul, far as I know, went there. He come back, he did not say one single solitary word about heaven other than it's unlawful for man to utter. It's so far over the natural man's head that they wouldn't accept it anyway, I don't think. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And we're not talking like some people say. It is literally the body of Christ when they pray over the bread, and the blood of Christ when they pray over the wine. Spiritually speaking, he feeds you. He nourishes you, spiritually speaking, with the bread and the wine. It's not his literal body. And by the way, those that believe that will get the thing that I come from. A little way from the time. I mean, that's part of the body of Christ. Christ is in immortal heaven. Not waiting for you, but waiting for when he will come back to get you and take you home with him. That's all he's waiting for. Some people take this book and try to figure out when the last day of the world is. And this book, by the Son of God, says no man knows, not even the Son of God. And that's when he was on this earth, he said that. And these people think they can figure out what Christ said. Nobody knows. Even he didn't know. I suspect he does now, but he don't want to go there. It doesn't make any difference. Father will tell him if he doesn't. Verse 62 says, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Isn't that wonderful? It was 500 men of Galilee that stood and watched him ascend up in heaven. And there was an angel that stood by and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? This same Christ shall come again. Not another, but the same one that was here that paid the price. Sometimes we wonder why God didn't choose another way. But that's just mortal man dwelling into something that there is no answer for, other than to say it seemed right to God to do it the way he did. You're going to try to outguess God? Lots of luck. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. No time to waste, and so let's go to the last part, verse 66. From that time then the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now listen to this answer. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? What we have here is, to whom shall we go? The rest of them said there's somebody else. Some of them said he was Elias. Some of them said he was this, that, and the other. Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. There is nowhere else to go. Praise be to the holy name of God. When it comes to salvation, there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it didn't say might, it said must. There is no salvation outside of the blood of the Lamb of God. You know, we can say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, but it's the blood of the Lamb of God. There is no salvation outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're told that that blood half went handward, half went one way and half the other. Covered everybody from the foundation of the world till the end of the world. You might say, well, a whole bunch of them aren't born yet. It doesn't make any difference. If that blood was shed for those that were to come, it was shed for those. And if it wouldn't, it wouldn't shed for us either. Don't try to twist the Word of God. You have enough trouble understanding it in its simplicity. Some folks try to find something that's plain as light, try to twist it into something else. Can't twist the Word of God. You find yourself like a corkscrew. You'll be twisted. And a lot of people in the world are, because they have a preconceived notion. Some of the folks that had a preconceived notion that went to the book to prove it were converted and believed. Oh, what shape must the ones be in that tried to prove what they already believed? You can't do that. Some people hang their hats on John 3:16. That proves that there was nothing, nothing, nothing. It didn't prove anything. The world in question was the world of his people. Wasn't the world at large? Wasn't all of humanity? It was the world of his people. And he did it. He saved us. And if you're ready to throw yourself a pity party, just don't do it. Nobody's coming. Just remember this one thing. If Christ has ever done anything that you could feel in your very bosom, he promised never to leave, never to forsake you. Go around with you to him. He won't leave you. He won't desert you. But he'll always be there. Some folks, if they get way past the day when they were brought out of nature's darkness, they begin to think that they've done wrong, just like King David. King David did not lose his salvation, and he did not pray for his salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It was just the joy. It wasn't the salvation. He didn't lose it. Neither will you. For me. If you ever had it,